Hi, and welcome to Daring to Leap. I'm your host, Lori Phillip. Have you ever paused to ask yourself, what do I really want in my career? It is a question that can redefine your life's trajectory. Today, we're joined by Dr. Anne Welsh, who left a coveted position at Harvard to pursue a path more aligned with her personal aspirations and well-being. In this episode, Anne shares her transformative journey and the profound insights on uncovering and pursuing what truly matters. Together, we will discover how to ask ourselves the most important question of all. What do I really want? Let's dive in. Dr. Anne Welsh is a distinguished psychologist, an executive coach, and consultant. Beginning her career at Harvard, Dr. Welsh has since pivoted, dedicating her life to unraveling the interplay between career aspirations, personal fulfillment, and women's mental health throughout the lifespan. Her coaching brings together research and real-life experiences to hone leadership skills, improve emotional intelligence, and create work-life integration. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. And we're going to jump right in. And I'm really curious to find out, okay, you were at Harvard, and people put Harvard at like the top echelon of aspirations, not only to go like to either go to school there, but to work there and having that on your resume and your real life experience, what caused you to decide, you know what, I want to pivot into something else?
I mean, in the end, it was personal stuff to some extent, but, you know, I should say that wasn't the first unexpected pivot I took, actually. So I had spent my entire childhood and adolescence saying I was going to be a doctor and doing all the things to get all the way into medical school and got into medical school, and then had this like moment of, I don't actually want this, right? This is not my dream. This is, maybe it was my dream. I don't think I was lying to myself as a three-year-old, but things can change from childhood.
You're right.
As a child of doctors, that was modeled for me. There were a lot of things that went into why I pursued it. But so I already had the context of, I can make a pivot and figure things out for myself. And I ended up at Harvard working in student mental health. And when I took that job, it was like a dream job, right? I love working with students. The students at Harvard were great. I mean, they were fascinating. They were from all over the world. And there was a part of me that enjoyed it and was aware that this is what I had kind of worked for in grad school and my postdoc and all these things and what I had wanted. And during the time of grad school and getting into that position, I had two of my children. And it just wasn't working for the work-life balance that I wanted. And I was getting into a place where it just didn't feel good anymore. I wasn't enjoying the work. And I knew I had to try something else. And I struggled, because how do you walk away from Harvard, right? Like, how do you do that?
Right.
There was so much external validation. And I can't lie and say I wasn't proud to say I worked there.
Right.
But that only takes a person so far. It's not, if you're proud, but you're unfulfilled, that's not a good place to be. And I wasn't able to show up as the mom I wanted to be at that job for a number of reasons. And so I kind of took a very scary leap and left and said I was going to do private practice just as a therapist. And I started that, and it was really small. And I thought of it as kind of a hobby almost at first. I only saw patients on Saturday mornings while my husband watched the kids, and so that I could be with them the rest of the time. And I probably did everything wrong in terms of how you build a business, right? I didn't get any childcare. I only did it like the paperwork when the kids were napping. I mean, really, in hindsight, I should have cut myself a lot more slack, but that kind of grew. And then I took another pivot coming out of COVID and added an executive coaching and consulting. So in the end, I've made quite a few along the road, but every time it is that same process of kind of getting really quiet and figuring out, like, am I doing what I want or what I'm supposed to be? And what is it that I want in here? What kind of lights me up? And what steps do I need to take to pursue that?
Yeah. Oh, what a powerful story. This idea that we've, no matter what we've done, built up a career at the same firm for so long, whether that's Harvard, whether that's in a private company. And there is this identity component where after a while, it's just kind of, it's almost part of who you are. And like you said, the external, the people saw you, elevated you likely because of where you worked and all of these things. How did you, once you really got quiet and understood, maybe this isn't for me, I want to do something else, how did you navigate everybody else's expectations in starting to talk about it or make the decision and not let that get the best of you? And in which case a lot of us would be like, okay, I'm just staying put, right? I mean, you did leave. And so what were some of the things that you went through to make that happen?
In all of the pivots, I always told myself, whether or not this is true, I always told myself I can always go back. Essentially, there was an innate confidence of, even with turning down med school, it was, I got in once. If I change my mind, I can get in again. If I don't like private practice, I can see if I can get my job back at Harvard. That there was always this sense of, this doesn't have to be a totally irreversible decision. When I turned down med school, that was not a popular decision, as you can imagine. And I got to get a lot of like reactions of like, oh, are you sure that's the right idea? And in that case, I was sure. I just knew. I thought I would be a great doctor and I might really enjoy that career. I don't do all the things it takes to get there. I don't think I'm going to enjoy med school. And I'm just feeling really called to do this other work. With starting my own practice, it was more supported, I think, because everyone, I think a lot of people around me could see the value. They could see that I was feeling pretty stressed and burnt out at the job at Harvard. And B, they could see the value of being your own boss and having the flexibility, especially at the time when I had young kids at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful. And what I was thinking about earlier, you were talking about reflecting on, well, this was my dream, but not anymore. And I think that point is so critical because it is okay for us to check in and change dreams. And maybe it was true for you as a child, but as we evolve as human beings and we evolve as people and we grow and we all the things have families, there is so much power in that reflection of, not just what do I want, but what do I want right now and moving forward. And I want to shift gears a bit to talk a bit more about that, because this idea of getting really clear for yourself on what you wanted to do, what came up for me is that when I was leaving my corporate role and people were asking me, wow, how did you get the courage to leave this, to go out and take this leap of faith? And at the time, I didn't feel courageous because like you, I was so sure. I was so sure at my core that this wasn't my path anymore. I wasn't so sure that what I was doing was the end all be all path for me, but I just knew that the path I was on wasn't mine anymore. And I had to let it go. And I think that confidence, that innate confidence you were talking about, came to me after months and months and months of deep reflection and a lot of self-inquiry, a lot of work, digging beneath the surface to get to that point, to feel so clear. So that from your perspective, how do we start to tune in to what we want internally and let go of some of the external pressures that we have? Hello, Daring to Leap community. I'm so excited to invite you to a free virtual event that I am hosting called the Ready to Shine Summit, how women can successfully navigate their careers with more ease, purpose, and confidence. I've invited a powerhouse lineup of expert speakers to share with you all of their insights, tips, and guidance. You can learn more and sign up at www.readytoshinesummit.com. Be sure to check it out. I can't wait to see you there. Bye.
Yeah, I think that is such a, it's a really good question and a really important process. And first, to kind of contextualize it, developmentally, I think we've moved culturally beyond thinking like you figure out who you are at 18 as an adult, and then you are that the rest of your life. And we kind of understand that your 20s is really an extension of adolescence, and frontal lobe doesn't even fully develop till you're 25. But I think the reality is, if we pull from the adult learning literature, you learn through your life, and you're going to want to let yourself be changed by that and to grow and to try new things. And so, first of all, just giving ourselves permission for ongoing growth and development throughout the lifespan is helpful, right? So that, like, this is not abnormal if you're kind of feeling pulled in a new direction. This is quite appropriate. Beyond that, I think in particular as women, we need to recognize that we have been socialized from birth to not question what we want, right? You are a marginalized group, as women are, and particularly if you are a woman of color, you are told that to be small and not take up space, you are told you can't have needs, let alone wants. And so if we hold on to that, we can start to understand that this is now going to be maybe a skill we're going to have to develop to ask ourselves what we want and to practice, right? It might even be like, what do I want for dinner tonight? Or what do I want to wear? How do I start to just get to know myself? And to recognize that when it, like you said, when you take that leap, it's not an impulsive jump, right? You use the word leap and it is, but it's probably a relatively well thought out, or at least a voice that you've been reckoning with for a really long time, right? It might not be, I know exactly what I'm doing, but I've known for, like you said, I've known for a while that I don't want to keep doing what I am doing, and that I can try things. I can decide I don't like the new thing and try something else, right? Like that there's a lot of permission granting for experimentation. And maybe even for some failure within there, because those are the things that are going to allow you to grow.
Yeah, definitely. I resonate so much with this idea of we're not socialized to ask ourselves what we want as women. And I don't know if it was culturally for me or if it was just a byproduct of my upbringing and the role that I played in my own childhood home that caused me to focus in on external more, on supporting other people, on being everybody else's cheerleader, on being a peacemaker. And so slowly but surely, over the course of my childhood, I stopped asking myself what I wanted, there wasn't even this conversation. I didn't have that conversation. Oh. And so it really was for me as an adult in thinking this through, I was barely scratching the surface of opening that dialogue for myself. And so I do really think it's important, and people can be at any range of the spectrum around how much you do tune in with yourself. And I do think that there's always even more room for growth. Like no matter where you are, you could be checking in with yourself more, and especially with the fast-paced nature of our society today, with all of the external inputs thrown in our face, we don't have the space to have a conversation and check in with ourselves day to day, let alone, so we have to be intentional about it. Yeah. So what can people do to start that conversation?
I think to what you just said, that with the hustle culture, there is no space and we have to somehow create that. And find time and ways and rituals to do so. But again, it can be something really, really, really small to start, right? Like I said, it could be like asking yourself about dinner, because that's the equivalent of, I'm going to start lifting weights and I'm going to start with a little teeny, like 1 pounder maybe, right? And I'm going to lift that until I can lift the 5 pound, right? And eventually kind of moving up. It's not like I sit down for a day and delve deep into my soul. I mean, sometimes it can work that way, but often it is these little building blocks of tuning in. And so maybe it is taking 5 minutes for journaling a day. Maybe it is taking, really kind of tuning into a particular area of bonds. Another way I frame it is trying to follow the breadcrumbs of joy in your life. Just start to notice where you feel joyful, because that can be a great tool to point you to what you want more of. The other way people can approach it is to start with doing some values work. So whether that's taking an online assessment, there's a million. If people want free ones, they can shoot me an email and I can send you some. Or a strengths assessment. Again, those are some free tools you can find online. Right. Sometimes it can feel like, I don't even know. It's so abstract to think about what I want. I'm so distanced from it. I don't know how to start. And so doing some sort of assessment like that or a values exercise can help you start to tune in to what might I want based on what I value in life. Right. Like I can, it gives me something to kind of compare options to. And so that's, I think that's another one that's helpful when it feels really overwhelming, right? When you're just so, it's so far from your reality, right?
Yeah, that is a great tip. And one of the things with the values exercise that can be so useful is, and a great place to start is because our values are so important and we can get a lot of clarity around where we should prioritize our time, where should we prioritize our focus. These types of things, once you fully understand your values. And one of the things that I recommend is just to, there's if you just type in like Google or whatever and just list of values, you can get like 250 values. Print it out and just glance through them and start highlighting the ones that resonate with you. And what's great about it, it's not a blank piece of paper. Because I used to want to like journal, but have no ideas on what I should write about, right? To now I journal every day, but like you said, it's a habit, it's a practice, it's something that you grow over time. And what's useful with the values is that you can have something that will prompt you and then you can start to notice. And then you'll start to also notice themes like, you know what? I highlighted this three times and it's basically saying the same thing three ways. Yeah. And those ones you want to pay attention to. And the ones that you highlighted, but you realize that you're not really that strong with that value right now in your day-to-day experience, that would be also a great opportunity to take a look at why not and what can I do about it.
Yeah. And similarly, so, even you can notice which ones you don't resonate with. And that, right, sometimes starting with what we don't want is another way to approach it too. Like sometimes we have more clarity on like that visceral reaction of, no, I do not like this. Whereas we maybe don't quite know what the yes looks like.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think our minds are trained to look at some of those negative or not great things more quickly, unless you're just born with this optimistic personality, seeing all the positives. But for the majority of us, we're like, we see the things that aren't going well pretty easily. Right. And a really great reframe is you see something that you don't want and you think, okay, what would I want instead? And you can start to your point, shift. It's a clue. It's a great clue on an area that's not aligned with what you want is a great way to start to say, okay, well, what would success look like in this area if it's not this, right? And start to kind of dig into that a bit deeper.
Yeah.
So we're going to start building our habit of getting to know ourselves better, and that could be journaling. What is the next step? How do we expand that? And continue to open up that dialogue with ourselves.
Yeah, I think this is where we tend to come face to face a bit with any people-pleasing tendency, right? Because once we name what we want, to practice asking for that may mean that we disappoint other people, right? That what we want isn't what someone else wants. And that's going to be a conflict. And maybe it's a small conflict, right? Again, maybe it's, I want Thai food for dinner and my partner wants Mexican and we have to resolve that. But that's exactly the process over and over again. And I think that's another, it's another skill, right? To learn to tolerate that you can disappoint someone and that that can be okay. And that doesn't make mm-hmm. you wrong, right? It saying what you want brings up any stuff around external validation because you're not always going to get it. And so it's that same process of practicing, saying the little things that you want and kind of being able to move into the bigger things that you want.
Oh, yeah. This is so, so important. So the step one, this is where I was at. I didn't even know what I wanted. Practicing knowing that, it's a full another step to practice speaking it out loud to others.
Yes.
And there is a bit of trust and vulnerability, as you mentioned, in between that, those two steps. So I love the idea of starting small. And as you start to know for yourself, well, I want this, by speaking it, you're trusting that that is what you want. You're going to ask for it. And if it's not that big of a deal, if it's dinner, but it's a huge dinner if I want to quit my job and go do this other thing. And so
yeah.
This approach makes so much sense to me. And going through it in a baby step format, which is so much easier to wrap our minds and our emotions around than these huge leaps, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to recognize you might get pushback if it's right. You might get no. And that doesn't mean your want is invalid. I mean, that in the end is kind of how my story of leaping went. I said, I want more flexibility. I need that in my life. And I came up with a couple different proposals of how that could happen. And I presented them at work. And I said, here's some ways I think this could work. And they said, we can't be flexible. We can't give you any of that. And so I had the information at least, right? I had asked for that. It was a valid
yes.
want. They could say no. They did. And so I walked away, right? I made a different choice because of it. But I had to get that. I had to get what I want here. Like what about this is making me a little bit unhappy here? How do I kind of voice that? How do I not just say, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to tolerate it forever. And it was an uncomfortable thing to do. But then that gave me, again, that data to say, okay, here's a want. I can't have it here. Now I need to make a different choice.
Yeah. So we've talked about this step on the show before. And I'm glad you brought this up because instead of assuming that Harvard wouldn't allow you flexibility, you did ask. And I think that's so important because for a lot of people, the answer could be yes. And they assume no. And they assume they have to leave the whole thing that they're doing to go do something else to get it when it might not be true. So I think that's a really important step. And it also helps you, as you already mentioned, with your decision making. You try. They said no. Now you need to go figure out something else. If you want to stay true to what you're telling yourself that you need. And that information is so important in helping your conviction, right? Like, I'm not just leaving because I want flexibility. No, well, I am. I asked for it. I can't get it here, so I'm going to have to find it elsewhere. And that really does help just emotionally move on in a sense where the other one kind of keeps it open a bit where you just made an assumption.
Right.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And an added beneficial side effect that I didn't anticipate at the time was I said to them in the meeting, essentially what I wanted to be able to do was to take a maternity leave and come back in a more part-time way, at least initially. And I said, look, you've got a bunch of other young women clinicians here, many of whom are actually pregnant right now. I'm not the only one that's going to want this. This is going to be a problem for you. And they said no to me. They said no and no, no, and just kept losing clinicians. And my understanding is this has actually shifted there. And so it was there was a little bit where I can look back and say me asking for what I wanted actually allowed other people to do it. So I could feel proud of that. And
yes.
It actually became part of the consulting work. Fast forward, to this point, and the consulting work I do is helping companies support working parents and helping women through that parental leave transition. And so, again, saying what I wanted all those years ago ended up being these seeds for something now that I could never have seen coming at the time. It's only in hindsight. But if I hadn't voiced my wants, then I might not have gotten this kind of beautiful stuff out of it.
There is, we can talk about all the reasons why you should listen to yourself for yourself, right? And I think, especially as women, and we talked a little bit about how, you know, we were raised to believe certain things. This idea of doing something for yourself can come up as selfish in terms of just not in reality, but how you feel about it, how you think other people will feel about it. But there is so much power in modeling a behavior where other people see it and then feel empowered to do it themselves. And you leaving, maybe you, we don't know for sure, but maybe other people that left saw you leave and say, you know what? I'm going to leave too. I don't have to stick it out here and deal with this. And so it goes beyond showing ourselves that self-love and that listening and the trust and the vulnerability, but also it supports others at the same time. And I think that it can be even more powerful for a person to recognize that and get beyond, oh, this is kind of me being selfish. Me getting what I want is just about me when it's not really.
Totally. Whether it's thinking about other coworkers or if you have kids, what you're modeling for them or just other women taking up space in the world, sometimes it helps to draw on the bravery of others.
It really does. I want to shift gears here a bit, Anne, and I'm very, very curious about the term you had used before with me, the ambitious identity paradox. Can you talk to me about what that is and why is it important?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And it really does overlap so much with what we've already talked about. And essentially, okay. for ambitious women in particular, I mean, really anybody, but we end up sometimes chasing after things that we think we're supposed to want, and we just get further and further from what would actually be fulfilling. And so the things we reach for, that ambition, when we're not aligned with ourselves, ends up holding us back. And we get stuck in the spiral where you achieve, but maybe you feel totally empty, right? You get the promotion and then 30 seconds later, you're on to what's the next thing I have to do because it doesn't actually feel good. And so I really talk with women about the idea that they're not failing. It's that their role models are failing them, right? It is that process that we already talked about, being so socialized to read other people and to meet their needs and quiet our own. And we stop asking ourselves what we want. And so to get out of that is essentially this process you and I have started talking about, where you start labeling, where are all these other voices, right? Is that me? Is that my mom? Is that my father? Is that a cultural belief? Is that a gender stereotype, right? Start putting these voices in boxes so that you can get kind of rid of the perfectionism burdens that you're carrying around and shed identities that just don't fit for you, right? Almost like cleaning out your closet, right? Do these jeans fit? Nope. Send them away. Don't hang on to them in case you fit them later, right? That's just going to make you unhappy. And then you can really start to do that questioning of what do I want? What are my values? What are those breadcrumbs of joy? What drives me? What do I need? And then once you have that established, you can practice it. You can start to make aligned choices with new behaviors. And that's where the rubber really meets the road, because your brain likes routine. It's going to want to keep you stuck in what you're doing, right? I tell people your brain's kind of like a sledding hill. And if you've been going down the same hill 20 times in the same space, there's going to be like a nice deep groove in that snow. And if your sled's anywhere near it, it's just going to keep going down the same chute. You have to be really, really intentional and pick that sled up and move it somewhere else to start forming new neural pathways. right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where you need kind of support and accountability. And that's where all this other stuff we started talking about, right? Getting aware of our people-pleasing tendencies, tolerating that making these new choices might disappoint other people or make them uncomfortable or feel risky and scary to us. But as long as we've done that inner work of like, is this my value or is it someone else's? Then it gets a little bit easier to make those different aligned choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this I love the term of the terminology you put around it, because I think we all see it. It's like my resume looks great on paper, but it doesn't feel great. It's I did everything I thought I was supposed to be to do to get the successful career and I'm here. But why don't I feel great about it? Why am I torn? Why am I? It's fine. Like these types of things, it's not what I thought it was. And so I think that that is a great clue in a place where we can see if you're listening to this and you're feeling that way, it is a really good indication that it's important next step is to start to really get clear about what do you want, go through the process that Anne laid out and follow the steps and get back to the core of what you need and where you really want to go so that you can feel great in your career and your life and what you're doing day to day. Because one of the things and one of the reasons why I left my career and switched to do something else, to do this, which is completely different. I don't know, you probably don't know, but I was doing strategy in the military defense space within Boeing. It's always like completely night and day to what I'm doing now. But it was during COVID that I started to question the importance and the meaningfulness of what I was doing and where I wanted to go. It was really that idea of our time on this planet is so short and limited. And because people were dying and getting sick and getting concerned about things that really matter, family, health, all these kinds of things. And the stuff I was doing started to feel meaningless in the grand scheme of things. And so I just want to remind people that we get this life and it's ours. And the point isn't to go get a trophy that somebody else told you to get if you're not going to enjoy it, like to be the star of your own show. And in order to do that, you kind of really have to know what success would look like for you now, not when you were a kid, not where you were even 10 minutes ago. It's this evolving process and it's okay to shift.
I always like to frame like ambition for what, right? Not just blind ambition. That's great. If your ambition is for CEO, please go get it. And I will 100% support you. And if it's not, oh, so great. And I will 100% support you.
Right.
It's just, it's going to be a little harder to listen to that voice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's so, so important. Well, we're going to start to wrap up, Anne. I'd love to hear any last closing thoughts you have for our listeners, women looking at advancing in their careers, a lot of which I think would really love to step into more fulfilling work. What do you have any last thoughts for them?
I mean, I think the only other piece I would add is, well, two pieces. One is support, right? Get support. If you're questioning leaving, it can be so, so helpful, whether it's a coach or a therapist or whatever, or a friend that's a good listener, yeah, or a spouse 100% behind you. Get support, because this stuff is hard and you don't need to do it alone. And so I think that recognizing you're not meant to do it alone and that you can question things out loud and get feedback and can be a really powerful part of this process. And the other thing I would say is we didn't talk a ton about perfectionism, but I think that is the other layer that shows up in all of this. And I think some people say, well, I don't have to get the A+. I'm not a perfectionist. And I would say, but do you have really black and white thinking about good and bad or success and failure? Because I know I didn't have to get A+, but a B was a failure in my mind as a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. And that's very perfectionistic thinking. And so getting comfortable with making mistakes, with taking risks, right? That challenging that part of you that says I have to achieve, that if I leap, I have to leap into something equally successful, right? I think the more you can get comfortable with being human, essentially, the better.
Yeah.
And so starting to just notice that for yourself too.
Yeah, I love you brought in perfectionism, and it's near and dear to my heart, the topic. I'm certainly managing my own instincts around that for sure. Would you mind sharing with our audience where they could connect with you, learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, I would love to. So they can find me. My website is drannwelsh.com. And I actually just released a free webinar on this ambitious identity paradox. If people want to check that out, and you can get to it at drannwelsh.com/masterclass. And people can also email me. My email's on the website. They can find me on Instagram. It's dr.welsh.coaching. And they can find me at LinkedIn at Dr. Ann Welsh as well. So love to hear from listeners, just even a quick conversation. If you have thoughts on the episode, happy to always connect with anybody in any of those means. And I should also add, for any particular working mothers, we do have a group coaching program that is taking new folks, and they can find more about that on my website as well. And it's called Working Mothers Lifeline.
Awesome. Sounds amazing. I hope everybody reaches out to Anne. Thank you again for your time. I really appreciate your experience, your wisdom and thoughtfulness in our conversation.
Awesome. Thank you again for having me. This was fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, I would love for you to subscribe. If you're already a subscriber, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Make sure to tune in next week. We will be speaking with Zandra Zura about building creativity and confidence through the style of your home. I hope you have an amazing week. It's your time to shine. Bye.